protecting the rim and just making LeBron second guess. You know, he was getting in the lane a lot early in the series, and I blocked a few of the shots, and then it kind of stopped from there, which was kind of good. And we had a 3-1 lead, obviously, and a few things changed. We also had, you know, Andre Iguodala was battling through some severe back spasms, so he couldn't really move as well, and he was our number one option to kind of slow LeBron down as much as he could. And the series changed, and that's the beauty of the NBA. Those 7-game series are never over, because a little bit of momentum swings, and then the other team gets confidence, and you see what happened in that series, and it still hurts to this day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, you won it the year before, then you win 73 and don't win it. Kind of, how do you look back on your last 2 years with Golden State? A little bittersweet?
Yeah, a little bit. Look, we would have loved to have won that second year, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. You know, thankful we've got one championship, because there's a lot of NBA players that don't even get close to a final series throughout their career. So I was pretty lucky and blessed to be part of a special group that it was just so much fun to play with. You know, the Golden State Warriors of that phase, we kind of all came in together from different teams in, I think it was 12-13, and no one thought we're going to be any good, and we kind of built it up just from the ground up without really signing any superstars, and that's why it still is a very special part of my NBA life.
I mean, I think of you back at Utah. I remember watching you a lot. You're obviously a great passer. Then you came into the NBA. You know, had success, but not like with the Warriors. I mean, had you gotten to the point in your career when you kind of didn't think being on a team like that was even possible?
Oh, no doubt. Look, I was in a small market team for 7 years in Milwaukee where, you know, I was the number one or number two option throughout my 7 years in Milwaukee. And it was just grinding to even stay at 500 for most of the season. We had a few successful years, but, you know, the room for error in small markets is so small, and we tried to build a culture and it just didn't work out. And then obviously got the chance to go to Golden State, where that at that time was even worse than right. Than Milwaukee was. And it was just so cool to build that team chemistry and bond, and guys that genuinely like each other. And we just had a great mix on that roster of guys that brought different things. And I kind of accepted, you know, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, I'm no longer going to be the number one, number two option. I'm happy to be the fourth, fifth, sixth option and do what I do, which was setting good screens and playing great defense and rebounding and blocking shots for us to win games. And that was the beauty of that team. We had a lot of guys. Andre Iguodala was the other one. He was a 20-point scorer in Philly and Denver, and he came, and, you know, we've got him coming off the bench. So a lot of guys gave up individual stats to win a championship.
The thing I remember about the 73-win team during the regular season was I felt like there were 4 to 6 plays a game where an opposing guard would penetrate, and you'd either get a piece of it or you would change the shot somehow, or they would turn it over. And it seemed to lead invariably to a three at the other end more often than not. Do you think that was your best defensive season in the NBA?
Yeah, I think both. I think the championship year and the following year, I think, it was just, and it's being part of a team that understood our strengths and weaknesses, and guys knew that, you know, if they got beat, either Draymond or myself was there, and we were physical with block shots. And then obviously with Steph and Klay running those wings and getting out to three, if we can get in transition just for a split second and give them some daylight on an open shot, it worked in our favor. So we had a really good balance. The roster was put together very, very well, and it was, yeah, it was just an awesome time. And defensively, I felt like I was really contributing at a you know, an all-league level, which I was rewarded with an all-defensive team.
We're joined by Andrew Bogut, former Golden State Warrior, won a title here. Now leading the league in rebounding and block shots in the National Basketball League of Australia. So you still got some game left, huh?
Yeah, getting these old bones up and down the court still. So still contributing. We've got a young team and just trying to get things right here. Obviously, the team that I'm with now is actually similar to what Golden State was when I first arrived there. Hasn't had a whole lot of success the last 5 or 6 years and some issues culturally and whatnot. So we're trying to improve that, and we're getting better. But, it's just been good to come back home to Australia. And we only have 28 games here in the regular season, so it gives me more time with two young kids to be at home and be around. And that obviously weighed into my decision on not hanging up the NBA boots and coming back to Australia.
Andrew, the one thing I wanted to ask you is – what's going on with your cars? Don't you have a lot of cars?
Yeah, I do. I do have a fair few cars.
Like, where are they?
They're in Melbourne. I'm in Sydney now, so I don't see them a whole lot. I brought one of them up here to Sydney, but Yeah, they're in a warehouse. They're all on battery chargers. They're just sitting there waiting for the day I give the game up and have time to actually drive them. So they're just, yeah, they're sitting there safely right now.
So were they over in the United States when you were playing basketball here?
No. So most of my cars are Australian muscle cars. So my collection's kind of always been in Australia.
Gotcha.
I had a few in the States, which I brought back to Australia, a couple of Mustangs and Shelbys. But for the most part, most of my cars are Australian muscle cars.
I take it you get them to Australia by boat?
Yeah, so the Mustangs that I'd sent from the States, it's a bit of an ordeal because you got to go through customs and whatnot, but you basically put them in a shipping container. They get thrown on a boat, takes about 2 or 3 months. They get to Australia, then you got to go through all the customs and taxes and pay all your fees, and then the car gets released, and then, yeah, you're good to go. So, yeah, I've done it a few times now and kind of used to the process, but for a rookie doing it, it's not something that's easy.
Well, I'm guessing $25,000 to get a car from the States to Australia, something like that?
No, way cheaper. So
really?
Just the shipping. The shipping's about $4,000 to $5,000. But where good old Australia gets you is they tax you on the value of the car. So
gotcha.
We have a lot. Yeah, if the car's over $70,000, you get taxed at 30% for every dollar over $70,000. So that's where they get you.
Hey, are you watching much NBA these days, or it's kind of out of sight, out of mind?
No, I still watch it. I don't follow one team particularly. Obviously, I still like to see most of the former teammates in Golden State do well, but there's a lot of Australians over there right now. Joe Ingles is a good friend of mine in Utah, so I try to follow as much as I can when I get, we get home from practice at 12 or 1, which is a good time in Australia because it's usually 7 or 8 o'clock in the States, so I get to sit on the couch and eat some lunch and watch some NBA.
So you heard about the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant little flap out here?
Yeah, heard about that. Look, I mean, Draymond, I've gotten into it with Draymond. Everyone's gotten into it with him. He's just a fiery, competitive guy. So, it's never really personal with Draymond. And that the next day or the day after, he's going to forget about it and move on. But I'll tell you this, for everyone that's stressing about it, you got 4 potential Hall of Famers with a bit of disharmony. I think you take that any day of the week over a team with no Hall of Famers and everyone's happy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Last one, your other former team, the Bucks, are doing well. They got Giannis Antetokounmpo. What do you think of him? And what about the success the Bucks are having? Do you have any affinity to them?
Yeah, I do. Look, I was there as a rookie, and I kind of grew from a boy to a man in Milwaukee, so it's always got a special place in my heart just from that aspect. And it's great to see them doing well. I hope they can go all the way to the finals. Giannis is an absolute beast, and he's probably number one candidate for MVP right now, I think, the way he's playing. And they've built a good team around him, obviously. Brook Lopez, I played with last season, and to get him at the 5 was a very smart move because it creates a lot of room for Giannis to operate. And I'm following them very closely. I'm real happy for the way the franchise is going.
Hey, man, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. I know
no
you,
worries,
got, you got stuff going on back there, but thanks for giving us some time, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, Andrew Bogut. All right, he said something that I found pretty interesting. And I want to talk about it when we come back.
Now, back to Warriors Wednesday on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. And Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Here's Steinmetz and Guru.
All righty, Matt Steinmetz, Dale the Guru Johnson with you. On a wet Wednesday, Golden State Warriors are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. I want you to listen very closely. Tip-off is at 4 o'clock, all right? 4 o'clock tip-off. At 2:30, Guru and I will be doing Warriors Live, the pregame show. Again, that starts at 2:30. At 2:50, I can't be any more precise. At 2:50,
I'm excited.
We are going to have our Warriors trivia takedown, which is worth $1,200. So a lucky caller who gets in will have a chance to win $1,200 if they can answer 3 Warriors trivia questions correctly. That's at 2:50. And then at 3 o'clock or shortly thereafter, we'll be giving away 2 tickets to a future Warriors game, probably around 305-310. But yes, at 2:50, you're going to want to be listening for a chance to get on the show, answer some questions, and ideally win $1,200.
I'm going to disappear. Use my burner phone.
We're talking about San Francisco and... Comparing it to
it's prime
big
time.
Cities.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize San Francisco was so small. There's 12 other cities that are bigger than San Francisco. Like Jacksonville, Florida's got more people.
Wouldn't trade places with where
I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm not saying you would trade places.
But when you look at San Francisco with the naked eye, you're like, this is a big-ass city.
It's not, though.
But
it's not in terms
number
of people
wise,
that live here.
But you got room.
It's you know what? The more I look at these numbers, Durant's gone. He's not even in a big city. He ain't even in a big city.
He got him coming for
you. He could
you
go
now.
To Austin, Texas, and there's more people. Think about that.
Not that beautiful bridge. And that endless water.
New York City, L.A., Chicago, Houston, Philly, Phoenix, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, San Jose, Austin, Jacksonville, then San Francisco. It does eke out. It does have more people than Indianapolis.
Then how are we the fourth largest market, when it comes to radio?
I'll tell you why.
All right.
It's because number 10 is San Jose. Because San Jose is bigger or has more people than San Francisco. San Jose's got over 1 million. San Francisco's got, looks like, about 850.
But outside of, what's the, where you go eating?
Don't do this.
Santana Row.
Don't.
I love San Jose, but outside of Santana Row,
What do you mean?
It ain't the city. San Jose, they come here.
There's more people.
Union City, they come here.
There's more people in San Jose.
Yeah, but it ain't not. You know what I'm saying.
All right. I want to get into something that Andrew Bogut said specifically when I asked him about the kerfuffle between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. Take a listen.
I've gotten into it with Draymond. Everyone's gotten into it with him. He's just a fiery, competitive guy. So, it's never really personal with Draymond. And you know that the next day or the day after, he's going to forget about it and move on. But I'll tell you this for everyone that's stressing about it, you've got four potential Hall of Famers with a bit of disharmony. I think you take that any day of the week over a team with no Hall of Famers and everyone's happy.
I've been hearing that a lot.
A couple things I think were interesting there. When he talked about Draymond Green, and he said Draymond's fiery and he can get in your face and all that, and he said, well, the thing about Draymond is it's never personal, and the next day or two, it's over. Well, it's over for him. It's not necessarily over for the person he berated. Sometimes that never goes away. And so that's the one thing, as it pertains to Durant and Draymond and their issue from a few weeks back. By the way, they still have only played together one time since then. And it was an awful game by Draymond Green, by the way. Nevertheless, it's great that Draymond can put things behind him in a hurry. Not everybody else can do that. And he better hope Kevin Durant can put it away.
Well, I think he has, Donnie. And
I'm not so sure.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is we won't know until the offseason when Kevin Durant makes his decision and then he comes out and says if that blow-up had something to do with it. I think he's more KD mentally strong than that. I think they got it past him. And what's really bothering me is the fact of what you just alluded to. We're not seeing Dre play. We're not seeing the band back together. And once we do, watch out rest of the NBA. But I think KD's gotten over it, Steiny.
The other thing about KD, his comment about LeBron James and how people may not want to deal with the drama around him, the media, and that the media is toxic. Can I ask Kevin Durant to look in the mirror? Would I be a jerk for that?
What would you tell him to do when he looked in?
Is Kevin Durant drama-free?
Oh, no.
Exactly. Steph Curry could say that. Klay Thompson about LeBron James. But Kevin Durant? I mean, Kevin Durant is Mr. High Maintenance, right? Look at the last two places he's been. He creates drama.
And this quote feeds that. He knew it was going to make the rounds. So I'm like, KD, just like I tell my son, sometimes just stay out the way. And he, you know, when you make this statement, it's not bad, but you know it's going to make the rounds and people are going to say, is this his possible destination? Was he defending LeBron?
That's a good question. I think he was. I think he really wanted to take a shot at the media. That's really what he wanted to do.
Well, he did that.
I think.
He went Clint East, KD Wood.
Yeah. You know what, though? Kevin Durant ripping the media just doesn't have oomph. Sorry. Because we all know.
But it made the, it made his rounds.
We all know who he is.
Mm.
Steph Curry rips the media. That's a different story. You know what I mean? Because he doesn't do that. So when he does it, people will listen. Kevin Durant got another bone to pick with the media. Okay, well, another bone to pick with me. Kevin Durant, what's new? I mean, come on. That's not Kevin. It's not Kevin Durant.
He's in a good
place.
I think he's over the, what'd you, kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle.
That's just a ridiculous word.
Let's see. Let's see if he is. Let's see if he is. How about this? Talking to Anthony Slater of The Athletic. To me, this is... this is the most understated fact of the Kevin Durant quote-unquote sweepstakes. All right. Simple question, Guru. I asked Slater. I said, what is the most amount of money and years that the Golden State Warriors can give Kevin Durant after the end of the season? And then what is the most number of money and most number of years another team could give?
I like this.
Kevin Durant.
All right.
I tell you what, this should scare the hell out of Warrior fans. The best the Warriors can do.
I got my pen. Hold on.
5 years, $221 million.
That's a lot of money, man.
That averages out to $44.2 million per year.
Good God.
Another team that's under the cap and can fill in and can...
Clippers
can take in a max salary, can give him 4 years, $171 million. You know how much that is per year?
How much?
42.75. The difference between Durant staying and Durant going is $1.5 million a year. Now he gets the extra year, no doubt, and that's gonna make the 221 different than 171. But I got another crazy question for you: is it a no-brainer that the Warriors would give Durant 5 years? I mean, is that just automatic? Automatic, you got to give KD 5 years.
Okay, here we go. If I'm writing it, signing the check, I'm giving it to him.
Okay.
I think this dude is good. Just his body alone will be able to score as long as he wants to score.
So, Kevin, in theory, Kevin Durant could take a 4 year deal for 171. Then he becomes a free agent again. And he may make more in that first year than he made in the last year of his deal with the Warriors.
I just feel like the Warriors aren't getting blown out the water.
They're not. I mean, the Warriors aren't blowing anybody else out of the
but
water.
This is shocking.
I mean, this is the CBA. One of the things they want to do is have talent stay with their team, so they think this extra year is big. 5-221, 4-171. That's not a lot of difference.
Let me ask you this. We know David Stern always had an agenda. Silver, do you think he would care? Or want KD to stay with the Warriors moving into their new building?
Oh, I guarantee you.
From a competitive standpoint, would you think he would like
serum?
To see him?
No, yeah. Truth serum, they want Durant
Jack and
to
Coke.
Leave.
Okay.
They want Durant to leave, I would think.
For the betterment of the league. Competitive standpoint.
Yeah, although, I said this before, people may...
Did you put KD on another team? Oh, my.
We got Tim?
Wow.
All right, we got Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. You can follow him on Twitter, at WarriorsVox. Tim is in Cleveland. Tim, how do you dress up this game when the last 4 years have been what the last 4 years have been?
You know, I think it's more, if you're a Warrior fan, it's more of a nostalgic game, you know. This is the building where they won their first title in 40 years. It's the building where they won a title 3 years later. It's been the scene of, some great moments. It's been the the architect of a heartbreak in 2016. So there's a lot of emotion here, but I think there's two things going on. One is that you can kind of look back. There's no way you can get around the fact that when you walk into the building, you're going to be thinking about all those games and all those moments and Kevin Durant hitting that three, the Warriors, deciding to go, with your most recent guest and taking Andrew Bogut, who was a huge part of them getting to the finals in 2015, and going to him and saying, "Hey, we're going to start Andre now. We need to close this out with small ball." And Bogut saying, "Fine, do whatever you got to do," and then they win the title. And so, but on the other hand, if you look at the now, mm-hmm. then you have to say, okay, you got to continue to get that rhythm back that we saw a little bit more of in Atlanta, and to start getting back to who you are as a team and as a franchise. And so let's face it, you have to win this game tonight to have a winning road trip. And so so in that regard, it's another step for them, another important step.
Well, not that you asked me, but the two things that I think of about a game like tonight, one is another opportunity to appreciate what the Warriors are doing, because look where the Warriors still are and look where the Cavaliers are now. And also just a little bit of a cautionary tale for kind of Warrior fans that nothing lasts forever.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look at what's going on in Chicago now.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that, it wasn't too long, just a couple decades ago, they were on top of the world. And they were the franchise. And so it doesn't last forever. But I think the trick is to try to extend it as long as you can and to keep, yourself from getting into the situation Cleveland's in. Warriors have a big advantage in that regard in terms of what the market's like and where it's located. And the huge advantage of having Joe Lacob and Peter Guber as owners, because they're not going to settle for anything that's not the best. And so I think the Warriors will be able to avoid what's going through Cleveland fans and their minds right now for the second time, in the last decade. So hopefully that won't be the case. But it's a cautionary tale. It really is. That this can happen to franchises that think they're going to be on top of the world forever. Well, it doesn't last like that.
Tim, today marks the 2-year anniversary of Klay Thompson going for 60 3/4 against Indiana. And as crazy as that is, he also has gone for 37, as you know, in one quarter against the Kings. And I was asking Steiny, which one of those feats is more impressive? So I'm going to ask you that. How would you answer?
Wow, that's a great question. I never thought of it in terms of which one was better.
I went with 37.
Yeah, 37 1/4 is hard to do. I'll say this. If you get 37 1/4 and Michael Jordan didn't do it, Wilt Chamberlain didn't do it, Jerry West didn't do it, pick out your favorite scorer, LeBron James has never done it, then I'd have to go with a 37. The thing about the 60 that's always mind-blowing, and I always look at it like it's a misprint, is how many seconds he actually just held on to the ball. That, to me, is incredible. So,
yeah, no, I mean, both those feats are both ridiculous in a real good way. Tim Roy joining us. He's the voice of the Golden State Warriors. Tim, what have you seen in Steph Curry the last couple games in terms of where you think he might be health-wise and getting back into stuff?
I think the first game, I think he and the team tried too hard to get him involved and to get back into that rhythm instead of letting it kind of percolate organically. I think they realized that coming out of that game that they kind of were too amped for that one. And so I think we saw them, get off to a nice start in Atlanta and get a little bit of the feel back. It didn't feel as forced as it did at times in Detroit. And, give the Pistons some credit. I think they've got some guys, especially coming off their bench, and Brown and Johnson, guys that really get after you on the perimeter. And so they have, some credit there. But I think for for Steph, it was just a matter of just getting into rhythm, knowing where guys are going to be, knowing where the ball should go, and I think we'll see more of that tonight.
Tim, I tend to blow things out of proportion, and I'm really concerned.
No, really
concerned about Draymond's toe. We know how delicate a toe can be. Are you at all, you know, overly worried a tad bit, or is it one of those things that when he gets back on the court, everything will be fine? Because I know, man, what, you know, those toes can, you know, really give you problems.
It can, you know, when you're that's a weight bearing part of the body in a game where, you know, the knees, the ankles, the feet take the biggest pounding, and your back, they take the biggest pounding. So you're always a little bit concerned about that. But I think, you know, if you look at, you know, the fact that Steve Kerr said, I think it's shoot around this morning, he said that, you know, Draymond's going to be back in 2 weeks. He's going to be back next week, I should say. And so that to me tells me that it's okay. They're just being cautious. They don't want to. I think what they're trying to do is eliminate it as a recurring thing, Guru. You know, so that's not happening every couple weeks where he's out for three or four games.
Right.
I think they're trying to get it back to the point where, okay, now you can go. And hopefully, you know, he won't re-injure that. But, yeah, it's always a little bit of a concern. But, you know, I think, put it this way, if we were having this discussion in mid-March, yeah, it's a little bit more of a concern because now if it lingers, now you're going into the playoffs. But I think the fact we're having this discussion in the first week of December, I think it's just them trying to be cautious and trying to do the right thing.
Tim Roy, thank you so much for joining us, and we will be tuning in today at, first at 3:30 for your pregame show and then 4 o'clock for the tip.
It's overcast here. We had snow flurries before, and I've got a good look at the Cuyahoga River. So there you go.
Well, it's damp here too, Tim, so you're not missing too much. So travel safe, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys. Have a great show.
All right. That's Tim Roy in Cleveland. What were we talking about before we got Tim Roy on?
Bogut. Oh, no, KD, if he's going to remember this brouhaha with
The money. The Warriors can offer Kevin Durant 5 years, $221 million. Another team could offer him 4 years, $171. The difference in the annual yearly salary is minimal, $44.2 million to $42.75 million. The advantage the Warriors have is they can give him that extra year, which will probably be close to $50 million. But,
good God!
But, if he signs with another team and takes a four-year deal, and he's still playing pretty well after 4 years, he's a free agent again. Then maybe somebody gives him 3 years for $150. Who knows? And he'll actually make more that fifth year than he would have signing right now.
Okay. You know, I go with gut feeling a lot, Scotty. Yeah. What if I were to tell you, I don't even think it has anything to do with money.
I would disagree.
And like my boy Terry Basie just texted us, quit talking about KD like we're going to run him out of town. I'm like, dude, that decision's already made. He's a grown-ass man. It has nothing to do with guys like us talking about what Kevin Durant's going to do or not do. My point is, do you really think if that riff with Draymond was that bad or it bothered him with what he said to him, that he would honestly say, you know what, I don't want to win rings or I don't want to be
in it? Stop saying that. Like, that's what pisses me off. Like, if he leaves here, he doesn't want to win rings. I got news for you. I got news for you, all right? If the Warriors win the title this year,
all right,
okay, you could make a case that it would be strategically a terrible move to re-sign Durant at huge money and re-sign Klay at huge money. Because that team ain't going to be able to get it done.
But don't you owe it to the franchise to defend
your crown?
You owe nothing to
the franchise. What are you talking about?
If you got the secret sauce, why would you change it?
Because you don't have the secret sauce forever. You guys are delusional. You think this thing's going to last 6 years.
Well, I guess it's better than going in the kitchen to try to reinvent another secret sauce that you don't even know if it's going to work. If I got the one that's selling like hotcakes.
You don't get it. I don't think you get it. I don't think a lot of fans get it. There's no incentive for him to win four straight titles. He doesn't care about that.
So you're telling me an athlete does not care about winning?
I'm not
saying
that.
Go into his decision?
You know what? You know what Kevin Durant probably wants to do? He wants to win four titles and the fourth one be with another team. And then he can say, you know what? I won four titles in a row, not the Warriors.
But you wouldn't think less of him if he didn't do that and he stayed, right? Because with what you're saying to me and the way you're saying it with the passion, you would be shocked if he stayed.
I don't think he's staying. I didn't think he was staying before the Draymond stuff.
And I'm just coming from, man, you're on top. How come that can't be?
Because you know you're not going to be on top much longer. How about that? How about how about the people in the Warriors locker room, the players and the front office? What if they know this is it? What if they know?
Yeah.
What if Durant knows this is it? See, that's the thing. I mean, if he leaves, he doesn't care about rings.
No, you just, I look at it as if you got to start over if he leaves.
Good. And he doesn't have to start over. He's going to go to a team. First of all, if Kevin Durant, who's the worst team? If Kevin Durant goes to Atlanta, all of a sudden Atlanta's no longer the 30th best team. They're probably like the 12th.
Right.
So he ain't never starting over because he's Kevin Durant. And if Kevin Durant teams up with another superstar, guess what? They'll have as good a chance to win it as anybody. And that's something that I do think appeals to him. Tyler, San Jose, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Hey.
So I was just wondering, man, you know, I kind of have to agree with Guru on this one. You can't, like, In-N-Out Burger's been around since 1947. Everybody loves the sauce there. We have to keep Kevin Durant. I know we can't keep him forever, but we can't mix the sauce right now, man. And one more thing. Hey, Guru, man.
It's not up to the Warriors.
Like Jermaine told you, that he was been crossing you up, man, so you better not play Jordan Bell, man. Back to Union City, I'm out.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
It's
not the Warriors. We need to keep it. The Warriors don't have – it's not their choice.
Right.
It's Kevin Durant's choice,
but not
the Warriors.
And I'm just saying this because you say he's going to go play – it'll be attractive to go play with another superstar. He's got a superstar named Steph Curry who's not going anywhere. So just KD and Steph Curry.
All wishful thinking. And you know what? He may, and you know what? If he resigns with the Warriors, guess what? I ain't wrong. You know why? Because I never said he was definitely
going.
What
would you do though? If you could put new challenge?
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
I would just get those rings, keep getting them. And then I'm up there with
He's gonna go get one with the Clippers or the Lakers. How's that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I know you won't like to hear that as a Warrior fan, and I'm not saying it's going to happen.
We don't know.
You know what?
It's going to be good.
How about this? If Kevin Durant leaves the Warriors at the end of this season and goes somewhere else and wins a title in the next year or two, he will have more respect
than had he
stayed here.
There's no doubt. Times 10.
All right, give it to me, Robin. Give it to me.
You know what, Simon? You need to stop projecting. First of all, two things. San Francisco is a beautiful city.
It's beautiful, but it's small. Mid-market.
Small market. How old you are, right? But your interpretation of nightlife is probably not the same as our kids' interpretation of nightlife at 30 and 25. They know how to get into things. That's number one. But number two.
That's a good one.
Okay, not really, because, you know, at 58, boredom is all right with me, okay?
Mm.
Now, you kill me with this L.A. Clippers KD is leaving. What if the man just want to be happy? What if being here just make him happy? We know nothing lasts forever, okay? But
you know what? You know what will make him happy? Get Draymond out of here. Then he'll stay.
You know what will make him happy.
Oh, Draymond's making him miserable. Oh, come on, Robin. Thanks for the call, Robin. Appreciate it. Thanks, Robin.
Robin was hot.
By the way, I heard Robin again on another show.
Oh, dude, I was just about to—I was going to drop dime on her. That's our girl. We didn't put a ring on it though. She can do what she likes as long as it's the same station.
Of course,
we're all brothers.
I just like there to be, you know, respectful of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not go out there and.
She had a call with Joe and Dibs. It was fire. KD, if you would leave, if he were to depart. Going Sean Connery, and win a title, good God, he would go way up here.
Exactly.
People can't see what I'm doing. You know.
Don't forget, there's still a lot of people that Kevin Durant, there's a lot of people out there that still think he took the easy way out, and he's a sensitive guy, and that might still bother him. I don't know. I don't know.
We're up to 536 on Twitter.
Is that it?
Dude, we started at 434.
I know, but that means we really slowed down. We really slowed down. Guru is really scared. Not scared. Guru's concerned that we don't have a lot of Twitter followers on our at Steiny and Guru handle. Steiny and Guru.
It's working.
So I said something about, you know, if you feel sorry for Guru, go follow that account. Because I don't care.
I got enough pity.
I don't care. I don't care. They will come.
I was in a bad mood today. I'm in a good mood.
I'm in a great mood. I'm in a great mood.
And I had some things in my life yesterday we won't talk about. I apologize to you and Curly because I text you. My wife was like, why are you bringing them into it? And I shouldn't have done that. I'm just emotional telling you what happened. I shouldn't have done that.
But if
something happens to you and you feel like talking, I'm there for you, buddy.
Yeah, you're not. No, man. I appreciate
that. I got to go. Misery loves company, they say.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I'm what's the word?
Cool.
I'm honored. You know, you consider me a good enough friend to hit me with some personal stuff. I'm dead serious.
We're going to get to this list of new words. What's going on with the world?
You want to do that?
Yeah, we have
to. I got to try to find this.
Here, I'll give it to you. Can you reach?
Hold on. I got one. All right, so
what's going on in the world, Steiny?
So I don't know who came up with this. No,
PETA.
Do we want to do this? It's such
no.
A,
we're just saying what they wrote. Saying what they wrote.
Jeez. All right. So PETA apparently wants to stop using anti-animal language.
It's been around forever.
Is this legit? Okay, so.
It's been around forever.
So, for example, PETA has suggested some phrases that should be changed. For example, the phrase, kill two birds with one stone.
I could argue is the most popular phrase in our language.
They want it to change to feed two birds with one scone.
What?
They believe the principle's kind of the same, and we're not talking about dead birds. We're not talking about two dead birds.
Why now? Just like with the Redskins, why now? That's, as I get older, why now? Is two birds with one stone not good enough?
Let's go to Don in San Francisco. What's up, Don?
Not much. Just listening to you guys at my lunchtime, and I want to chime in on your Durant situation. Now, I think myself that he's going to end up staying, and they're all going to end up staying because, you know, man, the owner's got big money, and you think it's a fantasy world and all that, but nah. They're going to stay, man. You're going to see. And then you remember this day when you said they wouldn't.
All right, I'm going to remember Don. I'm going to remember Don in San Francisco. Listen, hey, thanks, Don, for the call. Really appreciate it. Hey, people ask me, do I think Durant's going to re-sign? I don't think he's going to re-sign. I'm not saying lock it.
I cannot.
I'm not saying rack it.
It's the elephant in the
room.
And
if he resigns with the Warriors and you want to give me heat, I ain't taking it. I won't let you give me heat.
I'm not going to give you heat because you want to be happy. People act like you are going to be happy if he left. Come over. KD left. That's how people act like because we talk like my Terry Basie. Quit talking about it. KD's going to leave. Like we're going to force him to leave. Dude, don't you get it?
But
he's already. Don't even know what's on his.
Well, Guru.
If I'm leaving or staying.
But.
Meter.
You're the guy who believes that your actions influence sporting events. So why wouldn't you think your actions could influence whether Durant stays or goes?
KD's in Cleveland. He's got a game tonight. He ain't hearing this.
Right, but...
I don't write.
Right.
So I don't... Yeah, 10 to 12. He probably a shoot-around.
Well, there's going to be a game taking place 1,500 miles from here tomorrow. That you're going to be interested in. And you think the way you watch that game will somehow impact the final result. So what's it? And they ain't going to hear you. Here's some other, you want to hear some other ones?
Yeah, give it to me, man. This just why?
You know how they say nobody wants to be the guinea pig?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be the test tube.
That I don't. That's wild.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's raunchy.
Guru, sometimes you beat a dead horse.
Oh yeah.
They want me to say, Guru, sometimes you feed a fed horse. Actually, that's not bad. That's not bad.
It's too new to stick.
New things can stick if they're really good. They don't want you to say,
well, wives. They don't want wives to say this.
Look at Guru bringing home the bacon.
Yeah.
Nope. They want, look at Guru bringing home the bagels.
This is I know what they're doing.
And then the last one.
Yeah, this is a man.
Guru, sometimes you just take control. Yeah. You take the bull by the horns.
I'm a Taurus.
Take the flower by the thorns.
Oh, okay. All right.
I kind of like that one, too.
So do you think a committee went in a room, closed the door?
Yes, I do.
Had water and lunch provided and said, hey.
I do.
Let's see what we could come up. Dude, kill two birds with one stone when I was single, boy. That was my thing. I mean, the numbers. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're talking about cities.
You're talking about cities. I'm defending the city. You got a couple people upset we work with here.
That we work with?
Yeah.
I couldn't care less.
That's your Rick Barry?
Yeah, it was a bad one.
Rick was on the other day.
I know, I heard Rick.
Yeah, Rick was, I like him.
Rick doesn't think anybody can touch the Warriors.
You don't either. I don't either.
Yes, I do.
The three of...
I think this is going to, whether they win it or not, this is going to be their hardest one.
Okay, well that's, but if you were betting...
I said, if I were
betting... You'd go to the counter, Golden State.
If I had to bet, yes, yeah. I would still bet on the Warriors to win it. But I do think it's going to be really, really hard. And I think the one dynamic that is really going to change is that for the last 4 years, when the Warriors have gotten to the finals, they've been able to, in essence, go, all right. Cleveland. They can't do that this year. They're going to get to the finals, and that will be the hardest series.
But... it's going to eventually come down to talent.
Or togetherness, or chemistry, or how everybody's getting along.
Can I call somebody out? I've been good all day. Come on, Snotty. Give me 20 seconds.
You've been good all day. You've mentioned 7 people during the show I have no idea who they are.
Not on the text line.
Some guy in Dallas or whatever.
What happened?
The guy you said was a rapper.
Oh, BJ Kemp. He had 946 followers. From the 510 Guru, 70% of your so-called facts you state are wrong. And you're smiling.
I'm smiling for something else.
No,
I'm not smiling for what you said.
You can smile. I know it's wrong. Maybe 7. Thanks, Wes.
I'm not even going to.
I'm blown away at the money that the Warriors can offer and KD can get elsewhere. I thought it was bigger.
Yeah,
I thought elsewhere was bigger.
Scary, isn't it?
Oh, no. I think.
Oh, no. It's scary.
I'm ready to. Liquidate all assets. Well, they're all gone now.
You know, I didn't think of this, but our smart people in the back did. So we're supposed to stop using anti-animal language? Do we have to change put the rat on the table? We might have to change put the rat on the table.
A rat is a rodent.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all living things. All living things. All animals matter. Put that on your placard.
I guess I said Sean Connery was in the movie Departed. It was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff.
But I watched.
What did he say? 70% of what you say is wrong?
That's a touch.
High. Yeah, 7%. That's a touch. That's a touch. Put the rat on the table.
Mary Langley. We should have her on.
Who?
My old boss. The inventor of Put the Rat on the Table. She would call you in, drop her pin.
Who? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was an original.
It's about. Oh, no, you thought I came up with
it. I did.
Oh, no, I took it from Mary Langley. Yeah.
There's another name, Mary Langley.
Shout out to Mary.
Mary Langley.
She was no joke. Right. Yeah, Bobby Knight.
The pen?
What would the new one for the rat be? Put the...
I don't know. Put the rat on the table.
Put the silverware on the table. Since we're getting so soft as a society, that's what's happening. We're getting too soft.
Yeah, it doesn't. This is a tough one. Well, you know what? That's what the text line's for.
Chilton Autobody text line.
Since we got to change.
One way
you can't skin the cat anymore. That's another good one.
The cat is safe.
I'm going to try to come up with some ones for put the rat on the table and skin the cat.
And the elephant can't be in the room.
No, that's okay. Just take care of it when it's in the room. Straw that broke the camel's back?
No, it can't. Oh, man.
Yeah. Camel, that's another good one. Yeah. Is there anything with a dog? That one's the one. Because a dog's man and woman's best friend. Yeah. So is there one with a dog that we wouldn't?
I never knew how the dog could be the best friend if he couldn't talk.
That's why they're the best friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously.
I looked at it like that.
It's called unconditional love.
There you go.
I mean, dogs are just absolutely the best. What time are we out today, by the way?
I think we're up against it.
No, we're not. We went, give me what, 24 even or 54-24?
Put the bread on the table.
54-24. That's not bad.
I'm stealing from the text
24.
Line.
Somebody out there.
And then women could never say he's a dog?
No, that's fine. That's not.
Well, you know what?
That's not good. Well, it could be. I mean, dog in sports is good a lot of times.
Yeah,
like Draymond's a dog.
Yeah, but if a young lady saying that to her girlfriend, that's not an endorsement.
Like, I tell you what, that guru, he's a dog, man. He gets after it. Could be positive, right?
Well, that's how you get your spouse taken.
I love people not happy with me comparing Jacksonville to San Francisco.
Because you were joking. But I got to give you credit on your championship, man.
If I'm joking.
That's seeing now.
Why would anybody care? They think I'm serious.
Well, we would hope you are. We're doing a radio show.
I just say Jacksonville and
San
Francisco.
Come on, Jacksonville. Stop, Stoney.
I'm talking about population. They have virtually the same population, Jacksonville and San Francisco. About 8,600.
But they're not the same. This is Tony Bennett. Do you need to play that song in your car?
Do I have to tell
you? I left my heart. He didn't say Vegas. He didn't say New York. He said San Francisco.
You know why he left his heart
in
San Francisco?
Why?
Because he had a walk from this station to BART at 12 o'clock at night, and he never was able to get it brought with him because he didn't make it to BART with that heart. I know. It took a while for me to get there. But what do we got? 54-24. All right. Papa and Bate. So they have Bob Myers.
Yeah.
Bob Myers today. Okay. Bob Myers today for Papa and Bonte. Boy, I love San Francisco. I don't say that enough, do I? I lived in San Francisco for 12, 15 years.
You would never know, did you?
San Francisco's fine. Papa and Bonte are fine. Listen to them next.